Welcome to Vibe Online. We are back again. And this is becoming our new normal, isn't it? We talked about it last week. I'm talking to a camera, you're watching me on screen. New normal. Look, it is what it is, but we cannot wait till we get back to praise together, worship together, just get to simply hug each other. You know what I mean? Be in the same room and feel safe. So that is what we're dreaming of, and that's what we're praying for. And today we are going to pray. We're going to pray like we always do. We want to pray for our NHS staff. We want to continue to pray for Ian. We want to continue to pray for all of our frontline workers. We want to continue to pray for COVID-19. It feels like we're making some kind of progress now, and things are starting to shift, and things are going to start to turn. We want to continue to believe God and trust that He's in control and is doing everything to cancel this thing out. And so we're going to pray and we're going to believe. I want to give praise this week. We've been seeing salvation. One of the guys comes to church, his grandson got saved. We're so blessed by that and so overwhelmed and so thankful, and the angels are rejoicing. And so we're believing for more because we are hungry for more salvations. This is why we do this online. This is why we have church. This is why we're excited to get out there, because we have the best news in the world, and it transforms dead people into living sons and daughters that have a secure home in heaven forever. So that's what we're praying for. That's what we're rejoicing for. So would you join me today and pray, and let's pray together and believe a good God. Amen. So God, we thank you today for all that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that you're for us and not against us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And even in our homes today, let us know that you are with us and that you are for us. Lord, I pray today that we stand and we pray in victory, Lord. We're not praying defeated. We are praying as more than conquerors, because Jesus, you've already overcome the grave. You've already overcome sin and already overcome death. And we reign victorious with you for those that know you. Lord, we're thanking you today for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for salvation this week within our church family, and we pray for more in Jesus' name. We just pray, Lord, for loved ones, strangers, co-workers. We pray they're going to find the good news, and when they find it, they're going to turn to Jesus. Lord, we pray again more protection on Ian and the guys in the food bank. Thank you for blessing of supply. Thank you, Lord, for the good news for Monaghan, blessing of supply. And we pray again this week, Lord, for our frontline workers, our staff, and we give you praise, Lord, that we are seeing this thing getting canceled. We're seeing this thing being wiped out. We ask it to go in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand up to it. We come against it, Lord, and we believe, because we are men and women of victory, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lord, bless our families. Lord, thank you that you're keeping us safe. Thank you that you're keeping us well. And for anyone that's going through a difficult time, whether it be COVID-19 or anything else they face, Lord, bring them peace right where they find themselves today, right now in Jesus' name. We may not be together, but Lord, you are with us, and Holy Spirit, you are moving. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great God that we can pray to him, that we can talk to him, that we can come boldly before him. That's what the word says, come boldly before my throne of grace. Because before the goodness of Jesus, before his precious blood, before we were lost and confused, but now that we are new creations in Christ, we can literally come boldly before the throne of grace because of all that Jesus has done, because he has made us worthy. And so we rejoice, and we are full of joy, and we are pleased, and we are happy. Guys, thank you again for joining us today. We're also going to give, and I encourage you again, you guys are giving so well, but I'm going to ask you to keep giving, because there are so many things we want to continue to do. God is blessing us. There are needs in front of us, and we want to meet those needs, right from our basic bills all the way through to helping people get beds like we did last week, and that was a wonderful blessing. So for the next minute, you're going to see a slide on the screen. We encourage you to give. Keep giving to the Lord, because he's given us so much. Amen. Watch the next screen. So last week we talked about new normal, and this week we're going to continue to look at it again, but from the idea of worship and serve. Now, at the moment, that's not going to make an awful lot of sense, but later on it will. But before we do, let's pray that God would bless us and bless us with his word today. So Lord, we just thank you for everybody that's watching. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us and help us. We want to grow today. We want to be transformed today. We want to change. So Lord, I ask you to help us wherever we find ourselves, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So here's one thing that we've got in common in this crazy world at the moment, where it's like lockdown, it's coronavirus, it's like some people are working, some people are not, some people are mad busy, other people aren't sure what to do. Here's the one thing that everybody's got in common: change. Change is happening to everyone. And change a lot of the time is not nice. I'm sure you've experienced it. And I find that there's two types of change. There's the change that you decide, you know, like the start of the year, go to get fit, going to get healthy, you know, going to eat better, going to lose some weight. I'm finding that all of those are appropriate for me right now. Hopefully you're not the same. But if you are, then that's what we're going to aim for. But the one problem I find with the change that we initiate, we can decide to change our mind again. We can decide and go, well, you know, that was a really good idea and I'm definitely doing this and I'm going for that. And then a few weeks later, or even a few minutes later, or whenever the notion comes upon us, we can decide to completely change our mind again. But there's a second type of change, and it's the one that we all find ourselves facing today, which is one that's out of our control. There's just nothing we can do. It's a change put upon us. We can't decide to get out of it. We're in it. And no matter what you do, change is here. And so what are we going to do about it? Last week we said, well, look, we're into this new normal, but what does this new normal look like? And what are we supposed to do? And so today, that's what I want us to think about. And we're going to look at it for a few moments together. I've got two questions that have been running around in my head. What's going on? And what's going on is a great question, you know, and you might have been watching some of these conspiracy theories. I know I've checked a few out. Now, here's what I find, is that there's just no way of knowing what's going on. It's like, it could be this, it could be that, it could be a mixture of a whole lot of things. I'm not quite sure. But the second one is probably more important and probably more in our control. What am I supposed to do? The first one, I'm not sure. I'll leave that one up to you. I'm not sure. What's going on? I'm not sure anybody knows. But the second one, I do think I've got a responsibility, and I do think it's within my power to figure this one out. What am I supposed to do? And this is what I want us to think about. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do in this moment? What are the changes I'm supposed to make? What are the things I'm supposed to keep going with? And we looked a bit at this last week, but we need to look at it again and again and again. So what are we supposed to do? And I want us to think today, obviously, from a God point of view. And my suggestion is this, that we ask him. We start off and we simply ask him, God, what am I supposed to do? What is it you've called me to do? What is it that you want me to think about? And this is what I want us to think about today. And I want to read a verse. And it's been one that's been going right in my heart just for the last few days. Just cannot get it out of my spirit. And it's in Colossians 3:16. We're going to look at it together. But before we do, whenever you see 3:16, because you know God's always in the detail, you ask yourself, where have I seen that number before? And of course, when you think of 3:16, you think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would call on his name will be saved. That is the wonderful news of the gospel. That is the wonderful news of Jesus, John 3:16. And it's amazing that we get to Colossians 3:16, and it's almost like the second part or the thing that we should do next. It's like maturing Christians, this is what you should think about. Or in their case, there were guys that had kind of went off course a little. And Paul decided to write them a letter to try and get them back into focus and get them thinking about the right things. And here's what it says in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Now, we've seen this word dwell before, and I want to remind you of it. The word dwell is whenever I come and I live with you. If I came and I live with you, that is me dwelling. It's when we make our home somewhere. It's like that old word for abode that we don't really use very much. But God is saying that he wants his word, he wants himself to dwell in us, to dwell richly in us, because it's not just a sparse word or a little word or that he only has a little to say. He's a big God with a lot to say, and he encourages us today, like every day, that the word of God would dwell in us richly, so that we would know our Bibles, that we would know what the word says, because it's important. It goes on to say that you would dwell in the word richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your heart to the Lord Jesus. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. So God's urging us today that through the word, it's going to lead us into all things. That through the word, it's going to help us. It's going to encourage us. It's going to lead us. And it's going to guide us. So what am I supposed to do? I think the first thing is to ask God. And then we want to do next, we want to get into his word. Because as Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. I've already mentioned it. But when Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it to a church that was wandering. He wrote it to a church that was losing its way. And it kind of started off well, and then it started to think about this, and it started to think about that. Does it sound familiar? You know, it's like we start off well. We start off with this change. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation in Jesus. I'm never going to be the same again. And then circumstances get in and life gets in. And before we know it, we find ourselves maybe going back to old habits or doing things we shouldn't or dwelling on things that are not correct. This is exactly how Paul found the church in Colossae, and he decided to write them a letter, and so he does through the book of Colossians, and this is how he encourages them. He encourages them, he says this, it's time in chapter 3, he says, stop thinking earthly all the time. You've got to remember that you're not carnal any longer, and that's just a word for not being earthly. We're no longer carnal, we're no longer earthly, we are heavenly minded. And wherever you find yourself today as a Christian, if you're in Christ and you know the Lord, then remind yourself that our first thinking comes from heaven down. It's not from earth up or from our earthly wisdom. That's why the Bible tells us if you need wisdom, ask for it. James tells us that. If you need wisdom, ask for it and God will give it. Now, there's an earthly wisdom that comes through life and experience, but there's also a godly wisdom from heaven down. And God's goal is to bring heaven to earth, not the other way around. We don't need earth going up to heaven. It's not going to make any difference. We need heaven to come down. And so God encourages us today in the same way as Paul did to that early church. Remind yourself, you're not to think earthly any longer. And if you're going to think heavenly, you've got to get into the word and it's got to dwell richly in your heart. He goes on to say, put on the character of God. And he says, you know what? Forget about the way you used to live. It's not evil things you're after or bad deeds or to think against this person with anger or malice. You're transformed because Jesus lives inside of you. So in the same way as you put on your clothes every day, put on this, put on the character of God and remind yourself this is who you are. And as you put it on by faith, then suddenly you start to think differently, act differently. You start to look like Jesus and you start to represent the kingdom of heaven instead of your old life, which you used to be in, which you're no longer in because you're now dead to that and you're alive in Christ. The third thing, it says to bear one another. Now, we don't use this word a lot, so it doesn't mean bear. I mean, there's maybe some people in your life that feel like bears or maybe act like bears sometimes. And God's not talking about that. But he said to bear with one another. In other words, make allowances for each other. You know, give each other room. You know, when people make mistakes, it's okay, you could have made the same mistake too. Or maybe you did make the same mistake. So give each other grace. They had forgotten this. They started to get sharp and quick with each other. And they started to become like shorten their patience and shorten their love. And Paul writes them a letter to say, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what you're about. Bear with one another. And then he says, put on love. And there's many more things that he says, but for the sake of time, we will keep moving. And as he does, we get to verse 16, and that's where it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Because this is a church that had forgotten. They had forgotten the truth. And today, if we're not careful, we can forget who we are, we can forget what we're about, and we can forget to follow after the things of God. And that's what we desperately need today. Not just for our own lives, but for those around us. Because we have good news. And we have life transformational power inside of us, and it needs to get out. And if it doesn't get out, it's not going to have the effect in the world that God desires. And so therefore, we're not going to see many people added to the kingdom. At the end of Acts chapter 2, it says that they've remembered all the apostles' teaching. They followed after it. And as a result, signs, wonders, and miracles. They loved each other, divided up spoils for each other, gave to each other, were there for each other. And as a result, the Lord added to their number every day those that were being saved. That's the dream. But we have our part to play. And the early church forgot it. And here's my encouragement, but also a warning. We are the church. The church is not a building. We're learning this in ways that we never knew we needed to learn it before. Before we thought we went to church, we're starting to realize we are the church. We've always been the church. When we go to a building, we know what you mean. We're going to the church. But really, we're going to gather as the church. Because wherever you find a Christian, that is the church. That is the church. And that's what it's supposed to represent. the manifold wisdom, the manifold glory, the manifold grace and power and love of God. Wherever you would find a Christian, you would find Jesus, because he is flowing through them. That's his desire. So we cannot forget it. And so today, as we move into this word, we've got to delight ourselves in the things of God. This is not something that we have to do. This is something that we want to do, because we have found a freedom. We have found a life that is just worth shouting about. It has transformed us, and we are no longer slaves. We are free men and women because of the goodness of God. So we're delighting in him, but as we delight in him, we want to be like him, and we want to do the things that his word commands us. And that's why the word needs to dwell in our hearts richly, because otherwise our good ideas start to become our action. And sometimes even our good is not godly. Sometimes even our good might be good for a season, but it may not be what's required now. And so we need to know what God says, and we need to know what his word says. And so we do that by getting into our Bibles. Here's my encouragement for you today as we're moving into this message. We need to know our Bibles. We need to know what God says, because it's going to radically transform everything about us. And the more that we become like him, the more effective we can be for him, and the more abundantly we step into the life that he's called us to. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. So as I think about that, here's what I think. And here's what I think God's trying to say to us. When I think about rich, I think about wealthy. God said, I want this word to dwell in you so you're wealthy in all areas. And I jotted down just a few things that I believe God wants to encourage us with today. Find that he loves us. When you get into the word and it dwells in you richly, suddenly you realize, wow, I've got a love, and he's got a love, and he's poured a love inside of me that loves me even on my worst day. That there's a love inside of me that paid the ultimate price on the cross so that I'm no longer dead, but I'm alive. Wow. He truly, truly loves me. No matter what I've done, no matter what I've said, no matter what I've been through, no matter what I'm going to go through, the word tells me that he loves me with an everlasting love. So much that he has so many thoughts about me. So vast are his thoughts towards me that the grains on the sand of the seashore are not enough. The stars in the sky, not enough. The hairs on your head, not enough. The thoughts and the desires and the love that he has towards you is just, it's incredible. Without the word, you won't know that he loves you. If you don't know that he loves you, then you can't fully step into all that God's called you to do. It'll feel like, do I really have to? But when you know that he loves you, it becomes your delight and it becomes your overflow. Second thing, you find out when you dwell in the word richly and you know what God says, you find out that God has significant plans for your life. It's hard sometimes to grasp this. It's hard sometimes to fathom it, especially when you've got other people telling you that you're not that great, or you've always heard this in the past and you've started to believe that, and you find yourself just, you know, who am I? I've just got this normal job, living in a normal place, normal wage, normal job. I'm not going to achieve anything. But when you read the word, you find out that you're the prime suspect, that you're the prime target for God, and he's going to use you, and he's going to not use you in a negative way, but use you in a wonderful way to do incredible things, because every person he's got purpose for. You see, here's the reason. When you read the word and the word dwells in you richly, you realize that you were created. You weren't just a byproduct of something else. You find out that you weren't an accident or just something that happened. You were wonderfully created by a wonderful creator, and you were created in love, by love, for love, and you were created to be his child, and you were created to be, have worth and value and do incredible things for him. When you read the word, thirdly, it tells you that you're worth something. And I've been checking this out recently. Research tells us that the difference between someone who's going on to live a great life, whether they be saved or not, whether they know God or not, for someone who's going to go and live a life that's full, that's going to fulfill their destiny, that's going to go after the bigger things in life, and it's not just going to sit there and just waste away or just feel that they're insignificant, it comes down to this one simple factor, and the data reveals it. There's one variable that's always the same, and it's whether you feel it or not, or whether you've experienced it or not, determines what way you're going to go in life. Do you know what it is? Worthiness. Worthiness. If you feel that you're worth nothing, you will do nothing. If you even feel that you're worth something, it says. Scientists have proved it. If you even feel it, the data proves it. If you even feel that you're worth something, maybe you don't even know it because you're not a Christian. I don't know. Unless you're a Christian, I'm not sure you can fully know that you're worth it. Now, you could work it up, but until you know God, how do you know who you are? How do you know that you're worth it? Once you know him, you know so much more about yourself. But without knowing that you're worth it, without even feeling it, that you're worth it. You aren't going to achieve the things that God has purposed for you. You aren't even going to achieve the great things that's on your life and for your life and that you can do, because you're simply not going to believe it. There's just no way. I'm not worth it. But the moment that we discover that we're worth it, the moment that we realize that we're worth it, suddenly everything changes. We find out that we're worth it when we read the word. And what does it do? It leads us to confidence, boldness. It leads us to take confident steps, bold steps. Like, I can do this. I'm going to step out. I'm going to be brave. It leads us into living a life that is Christ-like, where we step out instead of hiding away. God's called us to step out. This is our destiny. And then fourth thing, we find out how to live and lead our lives in victory, and to live truly, to live free. We've talked it over the weeks, to live full of hope, to live full of victory, to live full of joy. When you dwell in the word, when you literally live in the Bible, then you know what God says about you, and suddenly it changes everything about what you do, what you think, where you go, what you say, how you act. It radically transforms you because you find out who you are. And that's God's desire today. We've stepped into a new normal. What's going on? Nobody knows. What am I supposed to do? I truly believe it's to get to know God. It's to follow after him. It's to find out who you are so that you can step into all that he has called you to do. But let me give you an important truth today. An important truth is this, that if this thing becomes a pressure thing, we've stepped away from freedom and victory and rest and relationship, and we've suddenly stepped into religion. Because religion tells us we must try harder, we must do better. And at the right time, at the right season, they can be words of encouragement. But what I found is that too often they can become words of condemnation. And instead of lifting us up, they push us down, and they maybe even bury us. And so I'm conscious today that in this time, COVID-19, we're all saying it. You know, this is a great time to get close to God. You know, you're going to find God in ways you never did before. As Christians, we're going to get closer and closer and closer. But I felt in my spirit that what God was saying was, let's be careful that doesn't become a pressure. Because if it becomes a pressure, the enemy starts to win instead of the king. Guys, this is not a pressure. This is our delight. And here's the reason why. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. We're not doing this thing in our own strength. If you are, stop right now. Repent. Ask God to help you. We're doing it through his strength. And so what did we start off with? What am I supposed to do? The first thing, ask for help. Today, pray. Ask God to help you. You know that these words are true. You know what the word has said. We've read the word. Maybe it's even convicting you in your spirit at this moment. And you're thinking, oh, I feel pressured. I'm like, I've tried this before. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Let me encourage you. Ask God to help you, and he's going to help you. When you dwell in the word, you start to get to know God better. As you start to get to know God better, you know yourself better. And when you know that, you realize, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I can't do anything by myself. I can't do anything when I try it myself. I encourage you so much. This is not a pressure thing. This is a delight. And if it becomes pressure, ask God to relieve it and ask him to enable you, because we're simply stepping in to the free right and the free authority that God has given us as children of the Most High. This is our mandate. This is our destiny, to let the word of God dwell richly inside of us so that we're wealthy in all areas of our lives. And so we can step out and be all that God's called us to be, to see more people coming into the kingdom of God. There's never been a better time than this to do that. Go after it like never before. We read it last week. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to all that Jesus said. This is the key thing. This is why we have to get into the word. We've got to let the word dwell richly inside of us, because if we don't, how do we follow after what God has called us to do? And here's what can sneakily happen. And here's what can happen in any Christian's life. We stop making the main thing, and we start to get distracted. We start to get distracted by everything else. And what's the main thing? To follow after Jesus, to love God with everything, to love their neighbor as yourself, to keep things simple, to keep things real, to keep Jesus in front of you, to keep walking after him, to keep being a follower of Christ. And if we don't do that, and if we don't by faith exercise that, and if we don't dwell in the word, then we start to get distracted from that. We start to get waylaid from that. We start to see other things. And instead of focusing on him, we start to focus on other things. And so today, we need to know what the Word says so we can follow after Jesus. Otherwise, we'll get distracted. We are followers of Jesus. And here's a word that God put in my spirit, and I want to give it to you today. We are in a new normal, but we've always been in a new normal since we accepted Jesus. So therefore, for us, things have changed, but Jesus has not. So as Christians, yes, the world has changed. Yes, our outside has changed, but our inside is still the same. We want to keep focused on the main thing, which is Jesus. Because the moment that we got saved, our new normal happened. And in fact, normal doesn't even do it justice. We became supernatural. We just became radically supernatural in the things of God because we became co-heirs with Christ. Suddenly the Bible tells us that even though we're here on earth, and we're absolutely here on earth because we feel pain, we're going through it, we know it, you pinch us, you nip us, we feel it. It's not nice. But we're actually seated in heavenly places with Christ. What that does for us, it gives us a kingdom authority, even though we're on earth. So before we said it, let's be mindful not to be earthly in our thoughts all of the time. Let's remember that we are heavenly minded and we have the mind of Christ. Because the reason is, if we don't, we will forget our kingdom authority. We will forget what God has given us, and we'll be like that workman who goes to the job, but he forgets his most important weapon, which is going to help him do the job much better. Our most important weapon is that we have the authority of heaven. We have the authority of heaven. When we pray, we must exercise that in faith. We have the authority of heaven when we speak, even when we sleep, when we go out every day, when we speak life here, when we speak life there, when we encourage this person. We have kingdom authority behind our words. And that's why when Peter and John last week spoke the name of Jesus, that lame beggar, he got up and he started to dance, because they spoke a name that transforms everything, and they spoke it with authority. They had authority in Jesus. We are the same today, church. We have that authority and we must exercise it. Otherwise, there's no point having it. So we need to know what the Word says, because we need to know who we are, because when we know who we are, we start to speak and act and walk just like Jesus, and the world gets to experience a wonderful love that transforms every person. That's our mandate. That is our heart. So we are supernatural. We are supernatural in our walk. We are supernatural in our spirit. And I'm getting convicted on that more and more. And I want to encourage you. I know that we're not in church. And, you know, maybe we get those moments where the music's just right and the lights are just right and you're feeling just right. And you get those goosebump moments. And you feel the Holy Spirit in ways that you never did before. Can I tell you today, I really feel that God wants to encounter us in our living rooms or our bedrooms or wherever you find yourself. God wants to encounter us. Do not put any limitations on that today. And I just believe right now, Holy Spirit, you are encountering us wherever we find ourselves, because you're such a good God. You've never been limited by technology. You've never been limited by what's in front. You've always been able to make a way. Jesus is that good. So there's a story I want us to think about, because I'm asking a question. What are we supposed to do? And I believe fundamentally what we said at the very beginning is to worship and to serve. And I want us to read a story that helps us to see this point. It's in Luke 10. Now, I love this story. I say this about every story, but I love the Word. I love what God says, because it has radically transformed me. And I say it from a personal standpoint, and I say it from personal testimony. I know what I was before, and it wasn't anything what I am now, and it won't be anything what I'll become tomorrow or the next day, because He's constantly transforming me, because the Word is dwelling in me richly, because He's overflowing, and He's just majestic, and He's just so great, and He's doing things inside of me that I have no clue. And I want Him to do the same things through you. You, if you'd let Him, if you'll dwell in the Word richly and allow it to grow in your life. So I come to the story of Mary and Martha. Wonderful story. Let me read it to you. Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. Imagine this occasion. At the minute, you're not really supposed to open up your home, but I'll give you permission. If Jesus comes to your door, open quick and close it real fast. You know, you don't want to get in trouble, but you're not going to leave Him on the outside. Amen. You're going to get Him inside ASAP, because this is Jesus. And so she turns around and she says, no, come into my house. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Listen to what He said. But Mary, Martha, verse 40, was distracted. Now, note the word distracted, and we can all become distracted, but she's distracted even though Jesus is there. Ever find yourself in the presence of the Lord, but you got distracted? I mean, just because you're in the presence of God means it doesn't mean you're immune to this. This is why you've got to be important when you dwell in the Word richly. You got to turn your phone off or put it in another room. You got to get your notifications away. You've got to get distractions out of the way because no one's immune to it. Even Jesus in this place, it wasn't enough against distractions. You've got to fight against this stuff. Martha was distracted by all her preparations. Now, these preparations weren't bad. She was trying to get the house good. She was probably trying to get the tea on, trying to get him a supper on, trying to get him something to eat because she wants to be a good host. But she's being distracted by good stuff. Don't get distracted by bad stuff or even good things. Don't let them get in the way. Because when Jesus comes and he's here today and he's in your room today and he's right there with you, I encourage you, he is. The presence of God, Jesus is there. He wants you to hear him and he wants you to see him. But she was distracted by all her preparations that she had made. She came to him and asked, and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." So Martha's in a pickle. She's like, I'm finding this tough. You know what I mean? I need some help because I really do want to be with you, Lord, but I'm trying to get this thing perfect. And she asked the question. She says, "Lord, can you help me?" Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," Jesus is so gracious. The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." See, here's a story, and here's the point of this story, and there's many words you could take out of it, but I want to draw one today for us that will encourage us in our walks with God. You've got two sisters, and they're both busy doing something. Now, one is busy preparing and serving, and the other is busy worshiping. One is sitting at Jesus' feet, and the other is getting things ready for the Lord. Now, both are good, but the point of this story is that you can't have one without the other, and I believe what God wants to show us is that worship and service need to go hand in hand. Let me explain worship just for a moment. Worship is vital that we understand the context of worship. Worship is not just a song, although it could be a song. It's not just praying, but it could be praying. What worship is when we give our heart to something. When we give the most expensive things about ourselves to something, we give the best of ourselves. You know, whenever you find young love, you know, when you're in love, you start to find yourself like that money you used to save in your money box and you wouldn't give it to anybody. You start to find yourself giving your treasure to this girl. Now, you don't give it to her directly, but you give it to her and, like, you know, it's chocolate or the cinema or I don't know, you know, you spoil her because you want her to know that she's worth something. And when we worship something, we're literally saying to ourselves, this thing's worth it, and I want them to know that they're worth it. When we worship Jesus, we've got to understand it's the same thing at play. We're literally saying, right, I'm worshiping Jesus, so I want to give him my best because I want myself to know that he's worth it and I want him to know that I think he's worth it. In other words, I'm giving him my all. When we worship, it's not just about a song. It's not just about what we say. It's about our innermost being. It's about our heart. What are we giving him? Are we giving him our all? Are we giving him a tiny part? And Jesus is saying, he's trying to show us from the story, when Mary sat down at his feet, she was giving him her full attention. I'm giving you my all, Lord. I'm giving you my everything. Now, I know we've heard it from the story where we'll rebuke Martha and we'll say, well, she was doing a really bad job because Jesus was there. But I really believe what Jesus wants to show us is the complete picture, is that we've got to have both. Because obviously, and the reason being is because we're not called to worship every day in the sense of sitting at Jesus' feet. Otherwise, we're never going to get anything done. God's called us to good works. He says, I've saved you for good works. I haven't just saved you to just wait and hope that one day I'll bring you to heaven. No, he saved us for an abundant life so that we can become servants. When we become sons, we also become servants in the sense of we are sons that serve. That's our role. Or we're daughters that serve. Why? Because we love the Father, and whatever the Father calls us to do and whatever the Father would love us to do, we would love to do it too. Because we want everything in our lives to be about worship. Can you see how that worship and service must always go together? Because if you've got worship without service, well then, you're literally just sitting there waiting and you're wasting what Jesus has given you. You're wasting the opportunity that he's, and you're actually ignoring the mandate that he's given us, which is to go. And it's to go and be a difference and go and make disciples and go and be an ambassador. But if you serve without loving, if you serve without giving him your heart, if you serve without worship, then it's literally just works. and works without faith are dead, the Bible tells us. So we can't do one or the other. We've got to do both. And so the picture that I feel that God wants to draw our attention to with Martha and Mary is that we need both. We need both in the house. We need both in our lives. We need both going on inside of us, because you can't worship without serving, and you should never serve without worshiping. They need to be together. They need to be the same. That's what God's challenge is, and that's what his heart is. So today, wherever we find ourselves, let's be a bit of both. We're going to be people that worship, but as we worship, we're serving. And we're not just going to be busy serving and miss out when Jesus is in the room. No, we're going to understand, because of our lifestyle of worship, when he's in the room, I'm going to pause and stop. But whenever he charges me and tells me to go and challenges me, I'm ready to go. But as I go, I'm always going to worship. One is not enough. I need both together, because that's what he's called me to do. And so finally today, how do we do this? How do we do this in a practical sense? Number one, worship. We said about it. Well, the worship, it's very easy. At the minute you're at home, or the majority of us are at home, and we've got lots of time in our hands. So what are we going to do? We're going to copy Mary. We're going to sit at his feet. We're going to worship him. We're going to listen to him, which is really important. Create time in your day when you can rest. And actually, to rest is a lot harder than you think. To be still is a lot harder to do than you think. To get a quiet 5 minutes is a lot harder to do than you think. So you've got to do what we said earlier. Ask him. Ask him to help. Say, Lord, would you help me to give you this 5 minutes? I need to hear from you. I really set in my heart, get distractions out of the way. I want to sit at your feet, and I need to worship. So I want to hear you. I want to worship. I want to pray. I want to read. They're the primary things that I'm thinking about when it comes to worship, in terms of that sitting at his feet moments. But of course, we said worship is every day, all day. But we need those moments where we draw into his innermost courts, and we get into his presence, and we can be tender before him, and he touches us, and he encourages us, and he restores us, because we live in a brutal world. So we need his peace, and we need his restoration, and we need his comfort, and we just feel the Father's love in those moments. But then the second part is serve. Like, how do you serve today, given that the church is closed? And for most of us, our service was in the church. Well, do you know what I really feel? And I want to encourage your heart with it today. I feel that we have got distracted by service only being within the church, and forgotten that service is everywhere. And number one and primary focus today, what I'm thinking about, is that we're in our home. And so the number one place where we're going to be able to serve in this season is in our home. How are you serving your home? How are you serving? Have you ever thought about that before? How are you worshiping, and how are you serving God in your home? To the extent of, how does everybody else see that? You know, whenever you go to church, we're like, whoa, she's really a Christian. Wow, look at the way he worships. Look at the way he's on the floor. Look at the way his hands are up. You know, what does that look like in our homes? Like, if we were to come with cameras to your home and invade your privacy and see what's going on during your worship time, or just spending time with God, or just how you interact, would we see moments where you're serving God? Or we see it where you're just serving yourself, and it's just like, yeah, make me a cup of tea. It's just like, you know, it's just like, everybody do for me, or I'm trying to do the bare minimum. You know, I'm trying to just do what it is to get by, but I can't wait to get back to church where I can really serve the Lord. Let's not be distracted. Let's not be discouraged. And let's not forget that our primary service at this time is in the home. And that's what I want us to think about for these last few moments, the power of your home. Let me tell you, God has always done incredible things in homes. And we're going to look at it today, just in case you've forgotten, or just in case you thought, oh, you know what, maybe church is the only place. Church is wonderful, and I can't wait to get back there. But homes are vital and have always been. There's something powerful about our homes, and God's ordained it like that. This is what I find. We are not stuck at home at this moment. This has become a God moment. I truly believe this, and I believe this part is so key, and so we really need to get this in our spirits. We're not just stuck at home. This has become a God moment where God wants to remind us that powerful things happen in homes. So for a moment, I want us to just put it up against each other. We've got the church versus the home. And I read this recently and heard this recently, and I want to give it to you. We go to the book of Acts. We go to the book of Acts because that's where the Holy Spirit was poured out. That's where we see signs, wonders, and miracles. And it's the only book where there is no end, because God's believing until he comes back again, we're going to continue to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to continue to see wonderful things take place, and we're going to continue to see great things happen in Jesus' name. So let me tell you, guess how many times church is mentioned in the book of Acts? I've counted it for you so you don't need to. 18 times. 18 times you will read about the church in the book of Acts, and signs, wonders, or blessings, or just in other words, encounters of God. But guess how many times the word home is mentioned, or an abbreviation of that, or a word like home, in what would symbolize home, home, house, whatever. It will all add up to be the same. Guess how many times? More than double. 39 times the word is used, house, in the book of Acts. And it's used there because God's doing incredible things. Signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, do I have to remind you, Acts chapter 2 that we looked at last week, what did the Holy Spirit do? It said when they were in the upper room, they weren't in the church upper room. They weren't in a wee offshoot of a building that belonged to the church. No, they were in someone's house. They were in the upper room of somebody's house, and they waited there. And I'm sure it was small. I haven't been to Israel yet, but I can't wait to go. But I knew it was small. I knew it was tiny. And they waited in a home, and God invaded that place. Can I tell you today that the Holy Spirit wants to invade your home today? He wants to invade your home in the same way as you've seen him invade the church, in the same way as you've been in powerful meetings. God wants to invade your home today. The enemy wants to rob you of this. He wants to tell you that, no, until you get back to the church, you're on hold. Things won't be the same. You're not going to get all the good things that you want. That is a lie from the enemy himself. I'm telling you today, from God himself to your heart, God is in your home, and the Holy Spirit wants to break out. The Holy Spirit wants to break out in your home today, not just today, but this week and forevermore. Because maybe in this season, God wants to call us back to that eternal truth that he does great things in homes in the same way as he does great things in the church. If it wasn't so, guess what? The early church wouldn't have existed, but it exploded. The persecuted church all around the world would be depleted, but instead it's increasing and it's exploding because house meetings are just through the roof because they can't meet in this big place. They just forget COVID-19. They could never do it because of security, because of threats, because of everything else. The underground church, they've never known a church like ours. They've never known a church and a building, and you come together and you worship. I had friends from China years ago. They came from YWAM. I said, what do you think of our church? They said, oh, we're not so sure. I said, no, come tell me the truth. They said, if we had what you had, we would be rejoicing. We'd be swinging from the chandeliers if we could do it. I said, what do you mean? So you've got to understand, we're the church as individuals. But this trip, as we've come to Northern Ireland, we've come to the UK, this is the first time we've met each other. We've been believers through Facebook, through email, through SMS, through phone calls, but we've never been together. And now that we're together, we're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do, but we're surprised because we're thinking to ourselves, why are they not more joyful? Why are they not taking this more seriously? Why are they taking this for granted? It convicted me in a way I've never been convicted before. Can I encourage you that God wants to do great things in your home? He's going to continue to do that. He wants to pour out his spirit in the same way as he did in the book of Acts. He wants to do it today in your house. Be encouraged. God has always done great things in people's houses. The church exploded. We can't stop praying. We can't stop giving. We can't stop reading. And we can't stop worshiping. If you've done any of those things, get back to doing them quickly. We cannot wait till church comes back. So guys, today, I'm encouraging you. The Holy Spirit wants to move. And I want us to pray that he's going to be poured out right now in your home. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. I just pray, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, if we want to get in just an open place, if we want to get on our knees, let's get on our knees. But we need you, Holy Spirit, to come today because we need a fresh encounter with you. We need a radical, fresh encounter. Wherever we find ourselves, church, wherever we find ourselves today, let's lift up our hands and just encounter the goodness of God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, you would come mightily. I know we miss gathering together, but we are the church. And I ask you to come just like you did in Acts chapter 2, just like you did all the way through the book of Acts, those 39 times. I ask you to come and do the same in our homes today, in our families. Maybe this is a time when the enemy meant for evil, the Lord's turning around for good, and you're going to remind us that in our homes you do powerful things. Lord, let our houses, let our homes, let the places where we dwell, let them be places of the Holy Spirit. Let them be places where the Holy Spirit comes and shakes the whole house. I ask you, Holy Spirit, today that you would come and shake the whole house. Let us never be the same again. Holy Spirit, would you move. And I pray today, if you don't know Jesus, that you would come to know him. And so wherever you find him, ask Jesus into your heart. If you don't know him, ask him. Because today I truly believe God wants to move in ways that he hasn't done before. Let's not limit him. Let's not hold back. We love him. Guys, we're blessed to have you. Would you join us afterwards as we take communion together? We're so thankful that you could join us. And we're praying for you and thinking about you in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys.